God, we just want to thank you for tonight. Thanks that you care about us. Thanks for summer. We are a little sad that summer is coming to a close. God, would you help us as we make the adjustment back to school? Would you give people good friendships and a good experience this next 2 weeks? Would you help them be able to find their lockers and their classes? And would you protect them from mean people bullying them and being jerks at school? Would you give them strength to honor you and to follow you? Help them to be a light for you in their classroom and in their schools. God, would you give them courage? And would you bless their friendships? God, would you help our group tonight? Help us grow and know you better, and bless our topic. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Dev.
Hey, guys. How you doing? All right, we have a trailer for Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Men Tell No Tales right here. Okay, so in the movie, all the characters are searching for something. Henry, who is Will's son, is searching for a way to break the curse on his father. His father is Will Turner, and he was trapped on the Flying Dutchman in one of the previous movies. Karina is searching for her father also, and the only thing she has from him is a book by Galileo that has a map and the stars that she's going to follow. Salazar, who's the bad guy, is seeking revenge against Jack, who has who trapped him in the cove there you saw, and he was cursed in that cove called the Devil's Triangle, and he can't escape until he kills Jack. So Jack is searching for a way to regain his ship and crew, because he's not a very good pirate now. He's kind of broke. And he's trying to stop Salazar from killing him, obviously, because he doesn't want to die. Barbossa comes back, and he's searching for the trident to stop Salazar from taking over his rule of the sea. Because right now he's the number one pirate, and he doesn't want to lose that. In the Bible, people are searching for many things. They could be searching for meaning, purpose, love, or friendship, searching for money, power, or pleasure, or possessions. But they're also searching for deeper things other than those. They're searching for a way back to God, for a way to break the curse of sin using a Messiah or a Savior who has rescued us from this curse. And he will bring us back and restore us to Christ. So, we're going to do a little whiteboard session, and we're going to let you guys answer. We have a question for you. So, what kind of things are you or your friends searching for right here? So, if you raise your hand, you can write them up on the board. Courage. That's a good one. Writing lessons. Acceptance. That's a good one. Max, you had one?
Happiness.
Kyla? Friends, friendship. Success. Kai? Boyfriend slash girlfriend, yep. Leah? Popularity. One more. Yeah, Kai's searching for hotties. We're gonna calm down now, okay? All right, those are all good. Yep, searching for things, courage. It could be searching for money or grades. We don't have that one. Good grades. Trying to be a better athlete could be one. Belonging, we have some of those on there. But most importantly, we need to be searching for God. It's okay to search for all of these things, but we need to focus on God and make sure none of these things take over that priority that God has over us. So something that I'm trying to do is I'm searching to be a better athlete. I joined cross country for the first time this year, and it's been pretty difficult to keep up, but I've been doing it, and I'm just trying to make sure that I don't let cross country take over my time with God and not let that invade on my time. So now we have a clip here from the movie about the pirates' greed and how they're letting that take over. Okay, so right there we had Captain Jack, who is surfing a bank through town, and then he jumped off the bridge and landed on the safe. But what they didn't know until they got back to their hideout was the safe door was open, and all the money flew out the back. And the only thing that was left was one gold coin, which Jack stole for himself. So that's an example of the pirate's greed. Can we have someone read Matthew 6:26?
And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul?
All right, so that's basically saying, if you gain everything of this world, but you lose your soul, what would you have? You would have nothing, because when you go to heaven, or you wouldn't go to heaven. If you got everything and lost your soul, you would go to hell, and you would have no life with God in heaven. Okay. So we're going to have Larry come up and talk about the curse.
All right, we're going to talk about the curse. So in the movie, we learn about two major curses. And pretty much these are going to be spoiler alerts for pretty much the whole rest of the film. So the main curse is about Salazar and his crew. And I think Devin told you a little bit that they were trapped by the younger version of Jack in the Devil's Triangle. What happened was they actually died in the Devil's Triangle, but it was cursed. That place was cursed, so their ship was cursed, and their deaths didn't really happen. So they're dead, but not dead, so they're stuck in the land between, okay? So you got these weird kind of like zombie pirates who cannot leave this cove, all right? And so that's the main curse on Salazar and his ship and his crew. And the other curse is on Will, which from a previous movie, he was trapped on the boat called the Flying Dutchman. And basically, in order to save Will's life, he was bound to the ship because they had to have a captain's heart be like the lifeblood of the ship. It's kind of weird. But that ship's job was to ferry souls to the realm of the dead. So Will can only, as the captain of the Flying Dutchman, get on land or be with his family every 10 years. Otherwise, he's like surfing the seas and their ship like goes underwater. It's kind of crazy. So in order to break those curses, that's kind of the main thrust of the rest of the movie. The characters in the movie are trying to figure out ways to free Will and Salazar and to find a way to break the curse on all those guys. So I've got a clip I want to show you between Will Turner, who's a Lander Bloom, and his son is trying to find him, and he finds him underwater on his ship, the Flying Dutchman, and here's a conversation they have. So I know you're sad for him. The boy wants his dad back, right? And he can only be with his dad every 10 years, which is kind of crazy. Well, time passes, and Henry grows up, and he's kind of the main character looking for this trident to break the curse on his dad to set him free. You guys, here's the crazy thing. That's fake. It's all in a movie, right? It's pretend. But there's actually a real curse that's on us, and it's not fake. But sometimes you might forget that we're actually, humanity is cursed. And you're like, what, really? Yeah. And the curse is this. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, or the penalty, or what you earn for your sin is death, is spiritual death, is disconnection from God. And all of humanity is cursed and disconnected from God. And that's crazy. So here's an awesome verse in Galatians 3. Who wants to read that for us?
But Christ has rescued us from the cruise pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing.
So in case you didn't think we're cursed, the Bible even calls it a curse and says that Jesus took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. You guys, this is crazy. But everybody on the planet has got something wrong with them, this curse, this disconnection from God. And I wanted to explain it to you a little bit. How many of you guys know the story of Adam and Eve? You guys remember the story of Adam and Eve? So Adam and Eve are in the garden, and God gives them control over this awesome place and all this, the animals and the land and the fruit and vegetables and all this stuff. And they get to name everything, and they're with God. They get to be with God and see and touch and feel God. And then God gives them some restrictions. It says, don't touch, don't eat from this tree. And what do? You know the story. They're tempted. The serpent tempts Eve. Eve takes a bite, gives it to Adam. Adam takes a bite. And I don't know if you guys get this, but for the rest of humanity, we all inherit what is called a sin nature. We inherit sin. Sin entered the world when those two representatives of the whole human race chose to disobey God. That disobedience is sin. And what was their punishment? Do you remember what happened to them? Did they get to stay in the Garden of Eden? Nope. Boom. God kicked them out. They got kicked out of paradise, and they realized right from wrong, and they realized what they did was wrong, and God gives them clothes and sends them on their way, and they have a connection with God still, but it's different now. Their relationship has shifted. It's changed, and God puts a flaming sword to block the way to the tree that they could never eat from the tree of life so that they would be punished by living forever in sin. So, right at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 3, we find out, oh my gosh, there's a problem, there's a curse. It's a real one, you guys, and you feel it every day. Do you not feel the pull to do wrong? Do you not feel the pull of sin in your own life? I do. Every day there's choices and temptations, right? And so for the curse for them, Eve gets extra pain in childbirth. Ooh, thanks a lot for that. So all the women who are upset about that, you can blame her, okay? For the men, God makes working the land, more difficult. So the ground is now going to produce weeds and thistles and thorns. And if you're a farmer, what's that? Boo, yeah. And yeah, anybody ever have to weed? Yeah. Patrick's like, I hate that. Okay. Think of this. If you're a farmer and all of a sudden now it's more difficult to grow your crops because the ground is now cursed. Okay. And so for a man, his work is going to be harder and he's going to have to labor over making a living for his family. All right. If you remember the serpent is cursed and he has to crawl on his belly. And God says, now there's going to be opposition between the serpent and the serpent's followers and all of humanity, all of Eve's offspring. So this war has begun. This battle has begun. Right versus wrong, good versus evil, all starts there in Genesis. You guys, this is weird and crazy, but it's true that humanity is cursed. And you and me have a big choice to make. Here's another verse I want to read to you. One of the effects of the curse is sin. One example of sin, and especially in the movie, is Salazar's motivation is pretty much revenge, isn't it, Dad? For like the whole rest of the movie, just wants to kill Jack. He wants to get rid of all the pirates. Started out of a noble cause, get rid of all the pirates. The pirates are criminals, so that seems good. But by just murdering them all, maybe not the best choice. But now he's consumed by revenge. Here's what the Bible says about revenge. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. So an example of the curse of sin is this revenge. You guys ever gotten mad at somebody? Somebody hits you, flicks you, stole something, took something from you, took the last cookie, took your seat, took something from your room, brother or sister. Sometimes you want to pay them back. Somebody hurts you, you want to get them back. And God's like, no, that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be different. But that's hard. Our sin nature makes that very, very, very hard. So you guys, for me, how does the curse affect me? Well, it gets me to do this. I end up focusing on the wrong things in life. Life gets hard. I get frustrated. I get stressed. And instead of turning to God, I turn to other stuff like pleasure or entertainment, to food or some kind of escape. I struggle with my thought life. Lust or anger or doubt or fear creep in. And I let that sin nature get a hold of me. And I end up making bad choices. I don't know if that's true for you. But sometimes the curse feels very real, and it's hard to live right. Here's the cool thing. That's not the end of the story in the movie or in the Bible. So Devin's going to come and talk about the map.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So in the movie, Karina has this book that her father gave her, and she's trying to figure out where it's going to lead her. And the map ends up being this little star formation right here, and it's pointing to an island that shows up right here. And she can only see it in the light of a blood moon, which is conveniently in the week that the movie is shot. The stars on the cover point to this hidden island, and the crystal is going to be the key to this special crystal, another rock, on this island. And when they put the little gem onto the crystal, it'll unlock Poseidon's tomb, which is where the trident will be located. And that is going to be used to break the curses. And in the Bible, the Bible is the map. It's our map, and it will guide us to where we need to go. And we have some scripture here. Does someone want to read 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17? Logan, you want to come up?
All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Yeah, so God has inspired all scripture in the Bible, and it helps us find our morals, our right for our wrong. And he uses it to prepare us for what's to come and what's going to be in our lives. And it also shows us how to break the curse of sin. which has fallen upon us. Someone read Romans 3:23 through 24.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Yeah, so everyone's cursed, and they've all sinned, and they're not perfect. So they can't have life with God in heaven. But thankfully, Christ Jesus has came down and died for us and sacrificed himself. And through that, if we believe in him, he will allow us to be with God one day. And the Bible is our map to Jesus so we can have our freedom. It's our guidebook, and it can give us direction or advice. It tells us our morals and shows us how to live. For me, when I've been through some tough times, I've looked through the Bible for guidance. God's word gives me hope and strength to keep going. At Kalamazoo this summer, we had a chunk of time in the morning each day that we could pray, get alone, and spend some time with God. We read the Bible, we worshiped. It was really good, and it helped me because I was able to spend some good time with God, and I didn't have to make time or break apart my schedule so I could put that time with God in. It was just really easy because it was given to us, and it made it just, it was a really good thing for me. Okay, we're going to have Larry come up and talk about the freedom.
All right, so we've been talking a lot about the movie. So in the movie, there's a way for these people to be free from their curse. And they do find the island, and they do are able to break it. By breaking the trident, they're able to break all the curses of the sea. So Salazar and his crew are freed from the Devil's Triangle, and then they are free and turn back into from, like, these weird undead zombie pirates to, like, human people again. Sadly, a lot of them get killed right after that, so it would have been better off if they'd stayed zombies. But for them, they're freed from where they were trapped, and then they're freed from this weird undead place and are able to be human again. Will is set free. So if you were sad at the beginning, he does find his dad. Henry finds his dad. Will is freed from the curse of the Flying Dutchman and is able to be with his wife and son again. And then Karina finds her father, and Jack regains his ship and crew. So the movie does have some closure. But more than that, freedom for a lot of the characters that we're searching. You guys, in the Bible, we find that that Christ, like Devin was talking about, sets us free. Galatians 5 says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure, this is important, that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Do you guys ever... you ever gotten stuck, and then you got out, and then you got stuck again? Like, that's happened to me in a car. I've been stuck in the mud, and then, like, we got out, and then I got stuck back in the mud again. Or maybe that's happened in your life. Some other thing happened. Here's what Galatians is saying. Look, God, Christ Jesus, has set you free from your sin, so don't jump back into your old life and just keep sinning all over again. Start living in your new life. Live like you're forgiven, and try to break some of those habits and live in the freedom that God has given you. Would somebody read 2 Corinthians, kind of a famous verse for frog because it talks about new life. Would somebody read that for us? Kyla, come on up.
This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him.
All right, so why are we called frog? Do you guys remember? What's the name? What does frog stand for? Forever reaching out to God. And do you know why the students picked that name a long time ago? What happens to a tadpole? A tadpole grows, and it's got gills, and it breathes underwater. And then what happens? The tadpole doesn't die? Come on. What's the process of a tadpole changing to a frog? It's metamorphosis. Thank you. A change in form or structure, okay? So the tadpole changes and is a frog. And now, if the frog tries to breathe underwater, what happens? It'll drown. Why? Because now it has lungs, okay? That is like our new life in Christ, okay? Once you've given your life to Jesus, you've been forgiven, don't go back to your old way of living underwater with your gills. It doesn't work. You'll drown, okay? Don't live in your old life. You guys, you know what for me? God gave me some freedom over some bad habits I had in my life when I was in middle school and high school, okay? In middle school, I kind of developed a bad mouth, and I was cussing and swearing and just letting that be a part of my normal conversation with people. And over time, I knew Jesus, but Jesus was working on my heart, and I was learning to grow. And over time, I felt like God gave me victory and freedom over my speech, so that I was able to have some control over my mouth. And by, you know, senior year in high school, I cleaned up my language a lot. Does that make sense? Now, I wasn't perfect. You know, I might slip up here and there, say a bad word or two, but it wasn't a part of my normal speech anymore. Does that make sense? So that God was helping me grow. And as an adult, I don't struggle with just being a guy who just goes around cussing all the time. God gave me victory over that sin in my life, okay? And over lying, too. When I was younger, I would lie a lot because I didn't want to get in trouble with my parents, right? But learn to grow out of that. To say, you know what? I want to be a truthful person. I want to follow God in this area of my life. I want to speak the truth, even if it means I might get in trouble. I want to be a truthful guy. Over time, that grew, and I got better at it. And God has given me freedom over lying and cussing in my life. Maybe you've developed some freedom in your life, or maybe you've got a lot of bad habits right now that you would like to get some freedom over. You guys, I'm not going to promise you that you'll become sinless. You won't. Jesus was, but he gives us an example to follow that we can start moving toward sinning less. Does that make sense? Cussing less, swearing less, lying less, cheating less, being more of a godly man or woman. We can find freedom in our walk with God that way. So here's a question that you're going to answer in a little bit. How have you been set free? How has God given you some freedom? For me, he's forgiven me. He's helping me be a better person. He's given me a great family and great kids and a career, and he's provided for us, and I'm really grateful for that. He's also given me meaning and purpose, and maybe he's given meaning and purpose to you too, to love God and to love people. So that'll be a question you can check out later. How has God or Christ given you some freedom? All right, Devin, come and tell us, kind of give us the wrap up here.
Okay, we're going to do a quick summary of what we have. So in the movie, everybody's searching for the trident, which is going to break the curse, and they're going to use the map to find the trident, which will set them free. So that's kind of like how we're all searching for something, and we've all been cursed by sin, and we need the Bible, which is our map, to break us free from this curse. And that's what Jesus does. And we have an Ice Camp quote from a few years ago. It's, "Let God inspire you to aspire to know him better." And that basically means, let God work in you so that you want to know him better. All right, that's going to pray for us.
All right, you guys, I'm gonna give two prayers. One, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, that you have a chance tonight to say, you know what? Do you want the curse to be broken in your own life? The way to do that is to put your faith in Jesus tonight, right now, and just say, God, I need you and forgive me. That will break that curse in your heart and in your life. It will change your destiny. You will go to heaven someday. And if you continue to walk with God and follow him and grow, that is the way that we find freedom. You know, and then another one, if you've been a Christian a long time, Devin and I were talking, what do we want the people who have already been following God for a long time to know? Don't go back to your old life. Don't go back to the old way. Live in the freedom of your new life and keep moving toward God. Cool? All right, pray with me. God, for anybody in the room, any student in the room who doesn't know you or hasn't crossed that line of faith, who maybe still has the curse on them, God, if they want to get rid of that curse tonight, they could just call out to you and say this. Say, God, I need you. I know I'm a cursed person. I'm a sinful person. I do stuff that offends you, God. And I'm sorry. Would you forgive me for all my sin, past, present, future sin, all of it, and remove that curse on me? I put my faith in Jesus right now. I believe that he died on the cross for my sin and rose again, and that he has the power to break the curse in my life. Would you help me to follow you and help me to grow and to know you better? And if you're here tonight and you've been following God for a long time and you're a Christian and you know him, pray this. God, help me not go back to my old life. Help me not go back to living in sin. Help me to live in my new life. Would you give me strength and victory over the sin in my life? Would you help me to choose right living? Would you help me to honor you and to be a light for you in my school, at my home, in my neighborhood? Help me shine bright and have freedom in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.